You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to another brand new episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that does what Nintendo don't. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to get into, but first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
The SNES Classic came out.
Yeah!
Yeah! Woo! And most of us got
Three quarters of the room got one!
I've only had like 45 minutes with it because I waited in line till midnight to get it, and that was a mistake. But for us... But besides that, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
I've only played maybe four or five games on it, but they all look and sound great and accurate. And the controller's good.
It's in my car.
Nice.
The controller feels a little weird to me, but I think just because it's a new Super Nintendo controller.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually held a new one in like 20 years.
Are they larger? Are they the same size as the original ones, or are they a little bit smaller?
Oh, they're exactly the same size.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, they're almost indistinguishable from the real thing.
Cool.
Well, technically, they are kind of the real thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any closer.
Yeah. I bought a two-pack of, like, super cheapo USB, like, SNES controllers, and something about it just doesn't feel right. They don't have the right heft,
and the button feel,
the click, just isn't quite there.
This feels like the Super Nintendo. Also, the buttons on it feel right, too. Dude, the first time I turned it on, I was like, oh, my God, that's perfect. Like, even though it's super tiny, it's that same little click forward that you would get on the original.
On that purple power button?
Yeah.
Good, good. So beyond the that good button feel, how is it? Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it's really accurate. It sounds good. It looks good. It plays good.
That's the important part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you could sit in front of that, and it's almost indistinguishable between playing on the actual console.
Really?
Except it doesn't look bad like it would. If it was the real console on an HDTV, it would look like a blurry garbage.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair, a couple years ago, I did hook up a actual Super Nintendo to my TV, and it did not look bad.
Huh. I've hooked up a Sega Genesis to an HDTV, and it looked like a blurry nightmare mess.
I mean, just think about the phrase you just said, though.
Sega Genesis, blurry nightmare mess.
Yeah. Like, I played Super Mario World for, like, hours, and it looked just like my mind remembered it as a child. So
the pixels look real crisp on the
SNES Classic,
yeah.
Some shiny, crisp pixels.
Yeah, I haven't played with, like, the settings, because you've got three different filter settings. I haven't messed
with those. Is scan lines one of them? Like,
yeah,
classic scan lines?
Yeah, like a CRT
cool.
mode.
All right, excellent.
If you want to get that real good experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's less games than the NES, but they're so much more going on.
There's a lot of RPGs
on
this one.
They're way meatier games. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really touched any of the meatier ones because, like I said, I've only played it for 45 minutes.
Right.
So I mostly stuck to things you could play real quick just to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I played, like, Mario Kart.
Yeah, sure.
Which isn't as disorienting as I thought it would be.
Oh, cool.
Because, like, it's old.
Yeah.
It shows its age. The sprites all look real weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the designs for the Mario characters, because they really weren't, like, as uniform at that point.
Right.
And I mean, it's before Rare Donkey Kong existed, so you've
got Donkey Kong Jr.
And he looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
His white onesie.
But it's still playable, and it's still fun. Like, you remember it.
Cool.
It's weird that there's no, like, dash, like, or not dash, but drift boost.
Yeah, that would take some getting used to not having that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I played F-Zero, which is just as good as F-Zero was then.
I enjoyed F-Zero X on the 360, on the N64 a little better than the original.
Oh, yeah, F-Zero X is really rad.
Mm-hmm.
But F-Zero is always fun because it's a racing game where there's a real actual feeling that you might die at any moment.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I touched the side too much. Boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I played through two tracks, and then on the third one, I boosted at a bad angle and ricocheted off the wall 6 times and died. So, you know, it's F-Zero.
It's F-Zero, yeah. Sounds like it.
Star Fox plays good. A lot of people say it doesn't hold up because the graphics are so bad. I think it's fine. I don't know.
Play it a lot, though.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Super Nintendo games, honestly. And maybe I'm just used to that look.
Mm-hmm.
But
that
I think
super polygony look.
Yeah, everything's triangles.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people online are looking at it compared to, like, modern-day games, whereas I think we've gotten kind of used to looking at things objectively, like they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of like that aesthetic, too, that super low-poly
look.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm kind of into that, so...
Oh, same here.
And a lot of people are saying the frame rate's too low. It feels fine to me. I mean, it's a little low, but...
It still plays.
It's an old game. Yeah, it still plays.
Yeah.
Star Fox 2, I put about 10, 20 minutes in, mm-hmm. too. And it's cool. Probably better than Zero. Not that I didn't like Zero.
What about
Zero
Adventure?
All right. Adventure's okay. I mean, it's just dumb Star Fox Zelda, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Star Fox 2 isn't as good as 64. It's probably not as good as the first one either,
mm-hmm.
but it's better than the alternative. Well, no, I don't know if it's better than Assault either. I don't know how this turned into ranking Star Fox games.
Well, it's just neat that they released another Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
This many years later.
Yeah, it's brand new. Nobody's ever played a complete version of it, and it's cool for it to just be there.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game nobody thought anybody'd ever get to play.
But, right.
I want to say, if you get one, anybody, spend some time with Earthbound because it's worth it. It starts kind of slow, but if you stick with it, it's an amazing experience. It's really, really well written and fun and has a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a video game from the 90s that was actually written by a real writer person.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's different and fun, and you should play it.
Yeah.
I put some time into Yoshi's Island, too, because that's another one that you don't normally get.
Sure.
It's been re-released as the Game Boy Advance version, which isn't as good. And it looks so crisp and good, and I think its look holds up today.
Oh, it does,
it
really.
It still looks good today, because it's got kind of that crayon drawing-y look.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of matches what the other Yoshi's Island kind of games have been doing lately with very stylized kind of...
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's coming from me not being a Yoshi fan.
It holds up way better than Donkey Kong Country does.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
don't say that. I love Donkey Kong Country.
I mean, the graphics. I love Donkey Kong Country, too, but the graphics don't hold up as well. Like, back in the day, that was cutting edge and, like, absurd, and you thought it was, like, 3D, but now it looks like a bunch of JPEGs. Like, if you would have told me in 1994... Looking back, Yoshi's Island looks better than Donkey Kong Country. I would have been like, you're nuts.
Donkey Kong Country looks like
for real.
Yeah.
But
it's a real monkey on my screen.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Donkey Kong Country looks better than Donkey Kong Country 64.
It's true.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good game. I enjoyed Donkey Kong 64. I put a lot of hours into that
I like
game.
Donkey Kong 64, too. Mm-hmm. I rebought it when it was on Virtual Console on the Wii U.
And nice.
Put a bunch of time into
it.
Oh,
yeah. Collectathon.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of garbage, but good. It's like
it's good garbage.
Yeah, like comfort food garbage.
Yes.
Like eating something that's really, really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it anyway, and you don't care.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
But yeah, the SNES Classic is a great nostalgia trip if you grew up playing Super Nintendo like we did.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at our age, NES was a thing. But Super Nintendo was really that sweet spot.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like my 7 to 12 or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I have one last question. Does it have Ken Griffey Jr. baseball?
Unfortunately, no.
Ah, bummer. Well, then I guess I'm not going
to
get it.
You're going to have to mod it.
I'm going to have to mod Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. Yeah.
Or take out all the other games except for...
Just put, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball.
Put only the Super Nintendo games that you owned as a kid.
Believe it or not, I owned quite a few of the ones that are on this one. Yeah. With the exception of Star Fox and Mother, or Earthbound, I guess. And
you had Secret of Mana?
You know, I didn't have Secret of Mana. That's the other one. But I had, like, just, like, all the other ones.
Final Fantasy III.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
I still have that somewhere.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah, I unfortunately do not have any of those anymore, but I had, like, almost all of them.
Clay Fighter.
Clay Fighter sucked.
Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, it was fun at the time when I didn't know any better, but, yeah. Man, going back to it, I tried, I downloaded it and played it the other day. Or not the other day. Well, kind of the other day. Just because I had to know. And boy, oh boy, does that game not hold up.
Oh, I'm sure.
And neither does Clay Fighter 2 Judgment Clay.
But what about Clay Fighter 64 and a third?
Featuring Earthworm Jim if you get the special Blockbuster edition.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I only imagine that it's probably controls a lot like Mortal Kombat.
It does.
And that's all you need to know.
The clay figures, because they're all just a bunch of moving JPEGs, have a tiny bit of artifacting on them. They do not look good. And there are no diagonals.
Wow.
So, yeah,
So kind of like Mortal Kombat.
So, but no, there's no diagonals, but you have to do, like, fireballs and like dragon punches to do special moves.
So you have to just go down right.
So you have to do right. So you have to just start mashing. It just turns into a mash fest. It's awful. It's the worst.
I feel like fighting games were so big at the time. Mm-hmm. People were trying to make them that had no real, like, hadn't studied the mechanics given forth by our.
Oh, well, I can do that. Street Fighter. They just punch each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it was everyone. Street Fighter 2 blew up. And everyone was like, oh, we gotta match this. Between Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat, those were the two big ones. And I guess Killer Instinct to a lesser extent. Oh, although,
man. Or the Neo Geo stuff.
Yeah, but those are better on arcade. The SNES ports of Art of Fighting was just the pits. Like, they tried to turn a four-button arcade fighter into an SNES game, and it did not work. Speaking of Killer Instinct, I saw that they moved it from the Microsoft Store to Steam here the other day.
Oh, neat.
But it's not free. It's a full pay-for version, but you get every character.
And not, like, buying them in chunks like they came when they came out on the yeah. Xbox One.
Right.
That was dumb.
Yeah. So now you can just buy the game and have all of the characters.
Buy the game and play the game like God intended.
Yes.
Oh, man. Is Street Fighter 2 on the classic?
It is.
Awesome.
It's hyper fighting. It's not the one with Cammy.
Oh, it's not the one with Cammy?
No, but it's the one with Balrog and mm-hmm. Vega and Sagat.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not the one with Cammy. Japan got the one with Cammy.
They did. They got new fighters.
Super Street Fighter.
The new challengers. Yeah. That's a bummer. I always like playing as DJ. No one ever played as DJ.
Cammy is my favorite Street Fighter character. So.
Yeah, it's a good character.
And Armika.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, somebody else have something? Because yeah. I've been going on for a while about Super Nintendo.
I'll make this easy. I don't. I put a little tiny bit of time into Mario and the Rabbids because I...
Did you buy it?
I did. Oh. I went on... Best Buy had an error on their web store, and I ended up getting it. I remember messaging you guys. I got it for $25. I actually canceled the order because it dropped again for like 15 minutes. I ended up getting it under $20.
Nice. Oh, that's about what it's worth.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I honestly don't like it.
I'm not an XCOM guy, but that's a $50 game for less than $20. It's Nintendo branded characters, so it will probably never be under $20 yeah. even used.
Or because it's Nintendo.
Because it's Nintendo. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to jump on this. I played about 10 minutes of it, and I go, yeah, I still don't like XCOM games.
Yeah.
This is...
I mean, I like some strategy games, some turn-based strategy, but I don't know. This just wasn't doing it for me.
And you know what I didn't like? How simplified the cover system was. It's either you have 100% chance of hitting someone, a 50% chance of hitting someone, or a 0% chance of hitting someone. There's no, like,
yeah.
variations or anything. So it's like, that's kind of
especially with
dumb
the whole
weak.
System of you can damage and destroy cover, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't do it fast enough for it to seem matter. Like it matters. Yeah.
It's easier to just run around from the way I can from what I can tell.
Like, run, do the slide tackle thing,
and then, like, shoot them.
Do, like, the friend jump and then shoot them.
I like how you can chain moves together like that. I think that's really clever. It's kind of like what Chroma Squad did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I want to like the game, but I just get frustrated with it every time I play it.
And it's weird. I know why they had to use Rabbids. One, because it's a Ubisoft game. It's not a Nintendo first party. And because they had to explain why everyone has laser guns. But if they were going to do an XCOM-style Mario game, I would have rather have had, like, 8 Mario characters instead of 4 Mario characters and 4 rabid Mario knockoffs. Like, we don't need 2 Peaches. We don't need 2
Luigi's
or 2 Mario's. And what's the fourth?
Yoshi?
It's Yoshi.
Yeah, there's
right.
A rabid Yoshi.
Like, give me Wario. Give me Waluigi. Give me Peach.
Yeah, especially with all this, like, character you've infused them with. Like,
yeah.
Why cut out, you know, the already good characters that would be even better?
They cut out the characters that are most likely to use laser guns.
Yeah.
Like Wario, Waluigi, and, like, Rosalina with her wand.
Yeah.
Those, like, lend themselves to laser-style, like, artillery. And they can explain away, like, Mario shooting fireballs and...
Yeah.
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 Oh, man. I just had a weird idea. Well, Mario kind of gets, like, a weird fire move once you get further into the game, too.
Mm. I probably won't get further into the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I will eventually because I do eventually finish all games I buy because I don't like wasting money. But it will be a very long time before I finish it. I'll put it that way.
I got to a mission where you have to escort Toad around a map.
Mm-hmm.
And I got screwed at the end, like at the last 2 turns, right before I was going to hit the finish line. A guy showed up and knocked me back a ton, and then he died. And I was so mad I haven't gone back to it since.
Yeah, this game seems very much like the game I will go to when everything else is done.
Yeah.
When there is nothing else to play on the Switch, I'll play Mario and Rabbids until it's done.
I'd rather it have been more like Fire Emblem.
See, I don't have preference.
You played
for that
the phone game.
I played the phone game. That's true. I have played the phone game, but that's all right.
Josh shrugs. Why do you shrug?
I guess I like the game a little more than you guys.
That's fine.
Please, and that's fine. You are allowed.
Please tell us what you like about it.
I don't know. I just it's kind of weird. It's like it's charming in an odd way.
It is.
Sure, it's a little charming.
Like, I hate rabbits. But some of, like, the little inside jokes are kind of funny.
Yeah. It makes the rabbits almost likable.
Almost.
Yeah. I don't know. But if you like it, please say why. So we don't just have 2 dissenting voices dumping on this game.
No, it was just something different. I don't know. Like, the Nintendo super fan science girl in the opening of the game was okay. It seems a bit forced.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
To explain why the rabbits are in the Mushroom Kingdom.
The story is weak.
Yeah,
the story's super weak.
It's way too overblown for what it is, too. Like, it's a virtual reality and something. It's like, just, you can come up with a better reason than that.
That part I didn't care for. Like, I'm not I think the levels are interesting. Like, the map when you're moving around it and whatnot.
Yeah, I almost like that better than the actual battles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem is the rabbits. I think if they would have made Super Mario Tag Battle, and it's just laser tag.
Yeah.
Everyone in the Mushroom Kingdom decide to have a laser tag tournament.
Or a paintball war.
Or a paintball war. Or something.
Oh, man, Mario paintball.
That would actually be really fun. And it wouldn't be too dissimilar from this style. It's just
or Splatoon.
it's just having 2 of each character and only having 4 playable characters.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, that part is kind of rough.
It shows how little the rabbits have to offer when 4 of the rabbits have to be Mario characters.
Yeah.
Well, like, I know we've said this before. Rabbits are the minions before the minions were minions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and they've only become more minion-y since the Despicable Bee movies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't care for the rabbits at all. I don't care for their aesthetic. I don't care for what they've added to the Mushroom Kingdom.
I don't care. I don't care for what they stand for.
No.
I don't like it. No, thank you.
But some of the elements of the game I kind of like. Like, I like getting up, like, taking Mario and hopping him up on a really high point to get an advantage over the enemy.
So, I haven't even gotten to that point where they have special abilities.
Well, it's not even a special ability. It was just the way the map worked.
Oh.
I could hop up on a big cliff and get a guy.
Cliff hated it.
Ba-dunch.
Oh, man.
This is the kind of quality content that you all tune in for week after week.
I don't know. I enjoyed the game. I've played the game more than I have other, like, than I have, like, arms. It was something different. I don't know.
Yeah. Again, my thing with arms is I think it got buried by Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have released them back to back.
No.
But that's just poor planning on Nintendo's part.
Also, they should have had the updates a little faster.
Yeah, I agree with that,
too. We should have had Lollipop like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't got to play with her yet.
I haven't had a chance to. I downloaded her, but I haven't. I fired it up to look at it and then was like, eh.
I really like that character. I think it's a good, design.
It's a good design. Yeah, I like it a lot. I like the Fun Chucks.
Yeah.
Clown Nunchucks. It's a great name.
I never thought I would like a clown-based character in ARMS, but I think she's pretty cool looking.
They're all clowns.
Yeah, they're all clowns. Clowns are so big right now.
Yeah.
What with it?
We all ARMS down here.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, you talked about Star Trek and everything.
I didn't on the show, but we can now.
We can real quick. Yeah, we don't have a ton of time, but we can talk about Star Trek.
Maybe we should bleed some of the Star Trek into after the break.
We can do that. Yeah.
I was going to say one of my check-ins out was I watched Orville.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's do Orville. Yeah. No, we'll save Star Trek for after the break. Why not? What the heck?
Yeah, Orville. Seth MacFarlane's Fox sci-fi...
Star Trek.
Star Trek-y, Galaxy Quest-esque TV show.
Yeah. Is it going to be short-lived?
Probably. It's on Fox.
Yeah. It's a sci-fi show on Fox, and it didn't immediately blow everyone out of the water first episode.
Yeah, I mean, the episode was kind of meh, but a lot of it was setting up, like, Seth MacFarlane's character and his first officer.
Let me guess, he's very sarcastic.
A lot, yeah. He's also pretty jaded.
Yeah. I bet he has a snarky quip about every person that he runs into.
Sometimes. I don't know. It kind of just kind of felt like a weird Star Trek episode, honestly. They end up, like, after they get the ship and everything and he meets, like, his bridge crew, they have to go to the science station to check out this thing or whatever. And then an enemy faction starts attacking the space station.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's weird. Some of the jokes fall kind of, they're like kind of, eh. I don't remember really any kind of point where I really like.
They're joke adjacent. Like one of those things where you see the joke and you understand the joke, but you don't laugh at the joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a Seth MacFarlane joke.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, I can't say that I hate it. I can't say that I love it. I really wish it was Galaxy Quest.
But... I was going to say, do you think that in another universe, this was a pilot for a Galaxy Quest TV series?
Oh, it completely feels like it would have been a Galaxy Quest TV series.
Yeah. See,
like,
I kind of...
the ship looks kind of similar.
The more I've seen of the trailers, and I haven't watched the pilot episode yet, but the more I've seen of the trailers, it seems more and more like this started as a Galaxy Quest pilot.
Yeah.
And they kind of tailored it. They're like, okay, we can't get the rights to the Galaxy Quest, or...
Well, there was a Galaxy Quest series coming. And then, and then Alan Rickman passed away.
Yeah.
And then they decided not to go on with it.
And is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, well, maybe this is what happened to it.
That's kind of what I think happened.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
But, I mean, because the costumes look really similar to Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
It's a very vague Star Trek-esque universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I would have, like, watched the trailer with the sound off, I would have been like, hey, that's Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Does Seth MacFarlane's character give you vague Tim Allen vibes? Jason Nesmith?
A little, yeah. If
that part where he has all that coke.
I mean,
he got arrested for that one.
That's right. Remember? Remember when that happened?
Who? More coke.
It was blowing out his nose when he was doing the noise. Get us in trouble.
God.
I mean, you're not wrong. But I don't know. I mean, a little bit, like, if, like, say, like, Tim Allen's character was an actual, like, officer in a fake space fleet versus an actor playing a character in that universe.
This is the, not Galaxy Quest, like, the out like the actual show movie, but like the actual show of Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Where,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's yeah. I could see it.
Yep.
I could see it.
I want to say the girl playing the first officer is the woman who plays Mockingbird Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Adrian Padalecki?
Yes, I think. Maybe they just look really similar. I don't know. I wasn't
if
really
only we had some sort of device.
I wasn't looking that hard.
That can connect to some sort of intertwined web.
Interwoven web of information.
Yes.
Don't go there. It's dangerous to go alone.
Only if you read the comments.
But no, I mean, it's different. I mean, I don't know. It just felt like kind of a vague.
It is Adrian Padalecki.
Really? Nice. All right.
But it just felt like a very vague kind of sci-fi show.
Okay.
She was the best part of that bad G.I. Joe movie, probably.
Mm-hmm. And the worst part of that Wonder Woman pilot.
No.
No, the costume was the worst part
yeah.
of that.
Oh, yeah.
The script was the worst part of that Wonder Woman pilot. Okay, everything was bad about that Wonder Woman pilot.
I like the idea of her as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I think she would have been a decent TV Wonder Woman if the mm-hmm. show was good.
Yeah. If not for the script and the directing and the costumes and the supporting characters.
Yeah. Basically everything.
How about that scene where she gets sad and eats a bunch of ice cream? That was in the script.
Or the fact that she has like double secret identities.
Yeah. What's cooler than having one secret identity? Two secret identities.
Didn't make any sense.
Nope. Not a bit.
Anyway,
we have to take a break. We've gone way over, so...
And we keep getting off, like, sidetracked.
We're talking about Star Trek and Star Trek adjacent, and that's something that we could talk about forever. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Star Trek Discovery for a bit, and then some news. Why not? All right.
Hey, this is Doug Jones, and you are listening to Nerd Overload, and I'm kind of overloaded with nerddom.
Hey, everybody, we're back. That was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, because we're halfway there.
Whoa, we're halfway there. So,
Living on a Prayer.
That's right. Yeah. So, we have a bunch of news, but we said we were going to talk a little bit about Star Trek Discovery, and during the break, we discovered that
only
half of us have seen it. This might be a very short discussion. Let's do a spoiler-free. I'll tell you what, let's do a spoiler-free one tonight, today. Just right now, and then by this time next week, all four of us will have seen the pilot.
At least.
Episodes at least, and we'll do a full-blown. So we'll just get first impressions. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, so first impressions. How'd it go?
I thought it was going to not be good.
Okay.
And it actually turned out to be quite good.
Ah!
It was a pleasant surprise.
Cool.
This takes place in the main timeline, right?
Yes.
Although it looks like it should be in the J.J. Abrams version.
Yeah. Yes. And before Kirk.
Yes.
Okay.
Like 10 years before Kirk.
Okay.
So when this show's ratings start to drop, they can go, oh, surprise, young Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, surprise, young Spock.
Like we didn't already have that.
But not on TV.
Yeah. And not that's a different continuity. That's a different universe.
These are the ones that are actually going to become William Shatner.
Those poor souls.
They'd have to hire an actor who delivers his lines. Like much this. Like this.
So Nicolas Cage?
We're talking young. Anyway.
You have to get over the fact that it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like new Star Trek. Everything's too shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's touch screens instead of weird knobs and little cartridges being pushed into things.
Well, I think they had to do that because Enterprise did that. Everything that they did. That Enterprise was set 100 years before original series. And a lot of their stuff looked like original Trek, but gray. Like, everything was just like old
Apple
ship.
Store.
Well, no, not even Apple ship. Like submarine.
Oh, yeah.
Just steel gray.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so at some point they decide to stop using touchscreens and start using knobs and boxes.
Yeah, just got to look past it,
I guess. Yeah, you have to suspend your disbelief on that one. And the fact that the Klingons look a little bit overdone, a little too much prosthetics.
Yeah. But the Klingons have never been consistent from series to series.
Yeah. And you get a lot of Klingons. There's a lot of, like, what's going on their ship. And they're talking Klingon at each other.
Cool.
You know, it's a little more going on than normal.
I saw where some people were complaining that they're kind of tired of people like hashing out the same Klingon Federation war over and over and over again.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? It's Star Trek.
This is the first Star Trek series in like television series in like 13 years. They needed to do something kind of familiar, maybe, because maybe if they decided to introduce a completely different alien race and all of the Starfleet uniforms look different and all of the ships look different and all the technology looks different, it wouldn't be recognizable as Star Trek, maybe.
I like their new uniforms too. They look cool.
Yeah.
They don't, if you want to get into that, it's the past and they don't look right compared to the original series.
Sure.
That issue is there, but they look cool if you don't think about it.
Yeah. Is the color coding still the same though? Like Command's yellow, Science is blue, and Engineering's red.
No.
Security and Engineering, yeah.
No.
No.
Everybody's is blue, I think.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's before they enacted that.
Yeah. Well, in Enterprise, their suits were primarily blue and gray, but they had like the different colored bars on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Signifying which ones.
I'm sure they haven't really had time to get into it yet, I don't think.
Yeah. Anyway.
The main character is cool. What's her name? Michael Burnham?
I
think it's Michael Burnham. Mm-hmm. She's a human that was raised on Vulcan.
Mm.
So she's kind of half human, half Vulcan, at least raised that way.
She's a reverse Spock.
Yeah, she's actually a ward of Sarek.
Oh,
Spock's
nice.
Spock's dad, who appears in it a lot.
So, surprise, young Spock eventually.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's her dealing with thinking logically like a Vulcan and also being a human.
Right.
So she doesn't have that genetic disposition of whatever.
Being calm and, and robotic.
Yeah, but she's kind of trained to think that way.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. All I can think of is trying to come up with a young Sheldon joke for young Spock. That's all I've been sitting here thinking of.
That's highly illogical. Bazinga.
Oh, gross.
Big Bang Trek. Yeah. I don't know.
Get out. You're fired.
She's very gung-ho and like wants to get it done the best way possible. I don't know.
And she's not even the captain, right? She's like...
No.
Her commanding officer or whatever.
The captain's really cool, too. I liked her a lot. I liked all the characters.
Yeah.
Doug Jones is the alien guy, which seems to be you either love him or you hate him.
Oh, you mean friend of the show Doug Jones?
Yes.
Our best buddy pal ever?
Yeah.
Doug Jones?
Super nice guy, super awesome guy, Doug Jones.
Tussled my hair once, Doug Jones, with those creepy fingers.
Ran his long fingers through my beard and got really close to my face.
I think we tell this story every time we talk about Doug Jones.
Well, I mean...
Well, friend of the show, Doug Jones.
It's our claim to fame.
Yeah.
Time we met Doug Jones.
Friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Yeah. And he manhandled us.
That's what we have to... From now on, I'm in... Decree. Every time we talk about Doug Jones, he is referred to as
friend of the show.
Friend
Doug
of the show,
Jones.
Doug Jones.
I didn't realize you were king of Nerd Overload. That you're making decrees.
This is my one. This is my one. Just
everybody
give me this one.
Gets one.
Everybody gets one.
Where's my tea party, Boston? That is.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. His character's cool. I liked him. I don't get people are saying he's the Jar Jar Binks of Star Trek. I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
He comes from a planet where his species is either predator or prey, and he has the ability to sense death, and it makes him very, like, cautious and cowardly, which is a good comparison to Michael, who's very adventurous and reckless.
So he came from the prey side.
Yeah, exactly. But he plays off Michael good.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what else to really say other than it was really good if you turn off your overly analytical Star Trek fan brain.
And therein lies the problem, because that's how most Trek fans are.
Yeah. I mean, the writing was good enough, and it felt like Star Trek if you ignore the...
All of the non-Trek things.
Yeah.
The
aesthetics. Yeah. It's aesthetically different.
Yeah.
But
and it almost
else...
had to be, because there's no way they could take a step backwards in, like... production and effects and everything and be able to bring in new viewers.
I don't know. I kind of liked it in Rogue One when everything was...
That's true.
Was
That's a good point.
Was classic looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at Rogue One...
Everything's buttons.
Yeah, everything's right there and people still liked it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
true.
They probably could have did it.
They could have, I don't know.
I don't know. I say don't fault it for that. Just ignore that and enjoy what is actually some pretty good, decent sci-fi writing.
Mm. Just my thing with it, I feel like it confuses maybe new people who aren't as in deep in Trek as maybe some of the rest of us, who don't completely realize there are two separate universes.
I was just going to suggest, maybe it's the people that have only been
exposed to the Abrams.
The Abrams version would look at something that's old Trek, looks like old Trek, and go, that's not Star Trek, that looks old. So,
anyway.
They were darned if they do, darned if they didn't.
Oh, there we go. Well, let's not get into anything else. We'll save it for next week, probably your next Check It Out, because I know I'm going to check it out.
Oh, but it's
going to
end up one of those shows that we check in on every other week. Yeah, like Rick probably. And Morty.
Our new Rick and Morty.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into a little bit of news. First on the list, there's a trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Which I think is a dumb title.
Yeah.
Ever since they announced that was the title, I hated it.
It's not even the second game in the series. And you said it's a prequel, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't numerically
work. It's a prequel to Red Dead Redemption.
So it should be Red Dead Redemption Half.
Zero.
Or zero.
Or maybe Red Dead Reminiscence.
Yeah.
Red Dead Remembers.
Do you remember when you got to drive a horse like a tank? Red Dead remembers.
Now I want cookies.
Everybody forgets that Red Dead Revolver was a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't forget. I just know it wasn't good.
Was there a Red Dead Revolution?
No.
The dancing game?
It's line dancing.
Yeah, line dancing game.
Yeah.
Red Dead Revolution. You got to get your line dance mat, which is way longer than the DDR mat is.
Everyone, take a step. Step to the left.
Now cha-cha. Anyway, Red Dead Redemption 2's trailer was dropped
looks like a real good cowboy game.
It looks really good. The graphics
It looks really good. It looks like the world is like lusher and more populated than like Red Dead Redemption was.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I played Red Dead Redemption.
I played it 2 years ago. I think it's the last time I played it. Like beat the whole thing. Mm. And I love that game. The story was great. It was fun. All the different things you could do. I mean, yeah, going from bandit camp to bandit camp gets a little tedious sometimes.
Yeah, and like murdering 500 dudes.
Yeah.
And then going to town and acting like you're still a good guy.
Yeah. You know, Western games.
Hey, they were bad guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, games set in the Old West, you don't see a lot of those these days.
Well, you don't see a lot of, like, Western things, period. Like, movies, whatever. There aren't a lot. But, you know, I feel like it's a lost aesthetic.
Unless you're Quentin
Tarantino,
I guess.
There's a bit where it was kind of around. I mean, there was The Hateful Eight. Then there was
Django.
There was
Cowboys and Aliens.
Can't forget Cowboys and Aliens. I'm thinking about the Leonardo DiCaprio movie where he fought a bear.
Revenant.
The Revenant. Yeah. I mean, they still do Westerns from time to time.
Yeah, I guess.
True Grit
was
actually really good.
I love the remake of True Grit more than the original.
I've never
seen
it.
Plus, it's
the
closer
original.
To the book.
Yeah.
I've never seen the original, but I like
Jeff Bridges does a real good job.
Yeah. He's,
well, he does a good job in just about everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean,
in like video games, you don't see Western setting in video games hardly ever.
Yeah, like it's Red Dead and like Dylan's Rolling Western.
Which I hear is really good too.
Yeah, I've never played it, but I've heard it's really good.
About the same time, I want to say
Gun.
Red Dead, Gun. That was it. Gun was not very good.
Wasn't a bad name.
Wasn't there that?
Was that bright yellow cover?
It was original Wii launch title where it was like a Western where you also had a sword.
No, that wasn't a Western.
That wasn't a Western.
That's the sequel to it though, kind of was.
Okay.
Red Steel.
Red Steel. That's it.
Oh yeah, the samurai sword fighting game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to gather much from the trailer. I don't know. I don't remember.
Other than you're a
of
member of a gang.
Yeah.
If you're playing a Western and you're not a member of a game, what's the point?
Yeah. Anyway. There's some lassoing. There's some gunfighting, some horse riding.
Some hooting and or hollering.
Looked like you get to use like two guns, which looked pretty good because you couldn't do that in the first one.
That's one more. That's one better than last time.
Yeah, they can put that on the back of the box.
Yeah. That's the poll quote from Nerd Overload. Two guns, that's better than last time.
Yeah, but looks good. I can't fault it for anything.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, Rockstar knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited for it. I'll play it.
I hope they keep their particular brand of humor in check.
Yeah.
Because I don't care for their sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Wait. But also, though, at the same time, Red Dead Redemption felt different than, say, like, the Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It
yeah.
did. Yeah. It had. There was a little bit of kind of that.
Sort of, but not as much.
Like, mm-hmm. when you went and watched a silent film, like, they were all kind of hokey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, do you want to stick on game news for a little bit? We have a couple. We just have a couple of real quick hits. We don't have much to talk about with them.
The Good Life is it's being, well, not Kickstarted. It's on Fig, which is a different crowdfunding platform.
Yeah.
But it's a game by Swery, who's the guy that did I can't remember, Deadly Premonition.
Yeah.
The much loved Twin Peaks simulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he's making a new game where you're a photographer lady that goes to live in an English country town that where somebody gets murdered, so you have to solve a murder. But the more mysterious thing is at night, everybody turns into cats.
Like everybody?
Yeah. Everybody in the town turns into cats.
Meow.
And
or sometimes dogs.
Yeah, that's the big new news, is that there's also a dog version. And there are two different versions that you buy, kind of like Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue. There's Good Life Dog, Good Life Cat.
Nice.
And he's saying it's a mystery and kind of a life sim, so I don't know if there's going to be like some Animal Crossing type stuff going on in there or what.
Maybe.
But it sounds really cool, and I love Swery. All of his games are fantastically weird and fun.
Cool.
But check that out. If it sounds interesting to you, you can throw some money his way. So
yeah,
it
sounds interesting. Sounds really interesting.
Actually, with Fig, you can invest in the game,
mm-hmm.
and get a return on the profits.
That's actually really cool.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Like, the minimum amount is like $100, which, I mean, that's not ridiculous.
That's not crazy, especially if you're, especially for a game like this where you know it's going to at least get some kind of return.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that you could at least get a break even on it.
Yeah.
Let's see, other game news. It was,
forgot about this one.
Yeah, we're gonna do this real quick, I guess. Through interviews with, who was it,
wasn't Miyamoto, it was the other guy.
It was the other guy who did Super Mario World. Yeah, it was revealed that originally when Mario rode on the back of Yoshi to get Yoshi to spit his tongue out, Mario would punch him in the back of the
just
head.
Sock him right in the back
just
of the head.
Clock him right in the soft spot. Yeah. But it
makes me really sad.
It's a real bummer. It's a real bummer city. And I'm glad they changed it in like the lore part, but the sprite still looks like you're punching him in the back of the head.
And Yoshi even makes kind of this face like, oh.
Yeah. That's not cool.
Yeah. It really upsets me for whatever reason that they even considered that in the first place.
You know, that's like, and why did that kind of news need to get revealed?
Yeah.
Why did that?
I'll bet Nintendo, after he said it, Nintendo was like, oh, man, why?
Come on. Come on. Be cool.
We could have kept that a secret.
Yeah. Not every tiny bit of minutia needs to be revealed on classic games.
I would have been much happier had I never known this.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have cared at that point.
Like,
the game's been out for 100 years.
Yeah. Like, this would be like them saying, hey, in the original Star Fox, we had to originally cut out a scene where you graphically saw everyone cut off their legs at the knees and given robot legs. Because that was the original, that was the original thing. Because the anthropomorphic animals couldn't fit in their spaceships otherwise. They had robot legs.
There's a scene in Mario Brothers where Bowser just socks Peach in the back of the head. It's upsetting, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Yeah. And the last bit of game news, and again, this is really quick because I can only talk about one half of this, and Josh, I think you can only talk about one half of this.
I can talk about all halves of this.
Okay. Even the fighting game part?
Oh, no, not that part. No.
Okay. See? There you go. There's a new fighting game based on Dragon Ball called Dragon Ball Fighter Z or Dragon Ball Fighters. I'm not quite sure how it's being pronounced. I've heard it both ways.
I think it's supposed to be Dragon Ball FighterZ.
FighterZ. But I've heard it both ways for whatever reason. Anyway.
They added
Lamb Chop. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. It's the song that never ends. That's their stage theme. They've been adding characters pretty regularly, and it's shaping up to be a really, really good game. It's done by Arc Systems, and they do excellent work. They've added a character called Yamcha.
Not Lamb Chop.
Not Lamb Chop.
Yamcha is a character who's been around since the original Dragon Ball.
Okay.
Who was one of Goku's, like, earliest allies.
Okay.
He just looks like Goku with long
hair. Okay. if you look at Akira Toriyama art,
everybody looks like Goku.
That's
Goku.
True.
Every male character looks like Goku with slightly different hair.
Yeah. And some female characters look like Goku, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
This is true. But, you know.
They all look like Dragon Quest to me.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
that's Akira Toriyama.
Yeah. So that's cool there. All I know about Yamcha is that he died, and he died super like a punk. And
well, he was killed in the very first arc of Dragon Ball Z.
Ah,
a lot of characters were killed in the very first arc of Dragon Ball Z.
And it's kind of a joke. Right?
Yeah. Well, no.
Now it's kind of a joke.
No, the joke is that he's terrible and gets his butt kicked all the time, and he adds nothing to any fight.
Yeah.
The one who gets killed all the time is Krillin.
Ah,
the bald one.
Okay. Well, he's in the game, too.
Yeah, well, of course he is. Yeah. He's like Goku's best friend.
But anyway, they added the character into the game, and I guess he's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the video looked really dope. And
That whole game looks pretty dope.
It looks really good.
Dragon
Ball. Yeah, same thing. I'm watching these videos going, man, I'm probably going to get this game. I could care less about
any of
these characters.
I mean, I'm a little sad it's not coming out on the Switch, but...
Maybe later.
It might eventually.
Xenoverse 2 did.
Yeah, it might eventually.
Xenoverse 2 just came out on
Switch,
actually.
I kind of want to play it just because of that character creator.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When's Monster Factory going to hit that
Dragon Ball? Probably pretty soon. Yeah.
They did one for Everybody's Golf that was really good because the character creator in Everybody's Golf is Buck Wild.
That is pretty wild. Yeah.
That could do anything.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty crazy. All right, so...
Also, Everybody's Golf is amazing. I've been playing that, and it's really, really good if you like golf video games.
Okay, cool. Anyway, let's move on to some, TV, movie kind of news. And there's a bunch of, like, remake news as now that I'm looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the world we live in.
It is, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, first up, well, it's almost Halloween, so let's talk about this one first. I guess they're doing a Hocus Pocus TV movie.
On the Disney Channel.
On the Disney Channel. Not featuring any of the original cast.
Not featuring the original director.
Not featuring the original script.
We don't really know anything about it other than nobody's involved. So.
Yeah.
And they're calling it Hocus Pocus.
So what's the point?
Money.
Well,
yeah. Someone's going to get money.
Name recognition.
They could really make a good, like, I mean, it doesn't need another movie, but they could make another good one. Like, a legitimate movie. People love that movie.
People love that movie. And you know what? All of the actresses that played the Sanderson sisters are still working actresses today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker can still do it. Bette Miller can still do it. And Kathy Najimy is still, and it has taken me almost 30 years of my life to remember the name of the third Sanderson sister, Kathy Najimy. Did you know that she is the voice of Peggy Hill on King of the Hill?
Really? Huh.
She is.
Huh.
Yes. Anyway, they could do it. They could come up with a reason. And you know who else is in that movie? Do you know who else?
Friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Yep, he was the zombie.
Yep, that's it.
Plus, there's a talking cat.
There's a talking cat. Talking cat's great.
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Of the all-time greats.
And it doesn't need another one.
It's probably the best Halloween movie.
It's a really good one.
And not like Halloween, like the horror movie, like The Holiday.
Yeah. But no, it's a really good one. It doesn't need a TV movie.
Yeah, it's the Christmas story of Halloween.
Yeah. That is perfect. That's exactly what it is.
Unless it's
the Christmas Vacation.
Christmas
of
Vacation
Halloween
of Halloween movies. There we go. Yes.
Whatever, hater.
Yeah. I like both movies.
Thank you.
But I like Christmas Story better.
Okay. Anyway, actually, the only thing that makes me feel okay with this, and it's not very much, Disney Channel has done good Halloween-based movies. Have you ever seen Halloween Town?
No, but I've heard good things.
It's very good, the first one. The first one is very, very good. And it had, who was it? It was Princess Leia's mom. can't think of her name.
Oh, Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds was the grandma witch.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was a very charming mid-90s Disney Channel live-action movie. It was good.
It was better than a lot of other Disney movies that came out.
Remake that Halloween Town. It's a good movie.
Also, put a Hocus Pocus world in Kingdom Hearts 3.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Instead of going back to Halloween Town for like the 800th time.
Can you imagine back when Disney Infinity was out, if they made a 3-pack of the Sanderson sisters in that animated style?
Man. I think I saw where somebody actually did do a mock-up.
A mock-up of it?
Yeah.
See, that would be really cool.
I still always see those figures like on Super Clarence. I'm like, man, I kind of want to get that just to have it. Yeah. I'm like, no, don't do it.
They use the Sanderson sisters in one of the Halloween shows at Disney World, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Anyway, other remakes. Flight of the Navigator.
Which was, I think, another Disney movie.
I'd
never even heard of it before.
I actually think it was a Disney affiliate. It was the Amblin. Which was... was it Amblin? No, that's Amblin's...
I'll bet people get this.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the... It's not Weinstein Company.
Cramblin.
Cramblin. No, it's not. It's the same one that did Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh
God.
Oh.
Oof. I'm going to look it up. You guys talk.
It's Cramblin Entertainment.
Yes.
Here's my decree. From now on, when we don't know who made something, it was Cramblin Entertainment.
Cramblin Entertainment? Okay, there we go.
Now we need business cards. That's anyway, right. Yeah. Flight of the Navigator, early 90s. Movie about a kid who gets abducted by an alien ship and then brought back like 20 years later.
And he didn't age.
He doesn't age. And like the rest of his family just thought he, you know, disappeared and was presumed dead for all that time.
It sounds upsetting.
Well, it's kind of weird because like when he first, like he doesn't realize time has passed when he comes back.
Touchstone is the not 100% family-friendly Disney film
imprint.
Affiliate. Also, because I had to look up Who Framed Roger Rabbit to find this, fun fact, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was also titled Dead Toons Don't Pay Bills.
Wow, that's dark.
That's a great title, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But kid gets abducted by an alien ship, brought back. He goes to his house, but his family doesn't live there anymore.
Right.
So, and then, but then the, you know, the government gets wind of this kid and, you know, they do
a ton of tests.
Yep. And find out that he's got like this crazy star map hit in his head, but they also have the ship that abducted him because it flew into a power line and it can't fly anymore. But then the ship reacts to the kid and then it kind of turns into like an ET-esque chase movie after that.
Also, the ship is voiced by, I wish he was a friend of the show, Paul Rubens.
Yep.
Friend hopeful Paul Rubens. Yeah.
Or Pee Wee Herman, if you don't know that name.
Yeah.
Which eventually, through the movie, he does do a Pee Wee Herman voice.
You know, my sister hates Pee Wee Herman. This is a total aside, but she hates...
I feel sorry for her.
She watched it when she was too young, and the show Pee Wee's Playhouse, and I guess it freaked her out, like, super hard.
I mean, it's weird.
And it's weird. But... It's one of those where it's like, she never's like, nope. Something about the crazy man child and the talking couch and everybody screaming.
I mean, I can see it, especially now. But man, I love Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I do too.
I grew up watching Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure. That was always my big thing.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
My bike!
Can she watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
You know, I haven't asked her. I'll ask next time I talk to her. I'll see.
No,
because
I don't
think
she'd be able to handle the trucker scene.
Oh, probably not.
It's very removed from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, yeah, it is. You're right.
So
it's almost a completely different thing.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if she can handle or the Vacation one that came out recently.
Oh yeah, You know what? Next time I talk to her, I'll ask her. Well, I'll follow up on this. Might be down the road, but I'll follow up on this. We have one last bit of news. It's another remake thing because we're running really short on time. They're doing a live-action version of the anime Your Name, which I remember, Cody, you talked about as one of your checkouts a while back.
Yeah, it was a really good, like, what kind of movie was it?
Slice of life?
Kind of, but there's a supernatural element to it that if I tell you what it is, it kind of gives away a major plot point in the movie, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well then... avoiding all of that, can this be made live action?
It could, but I don't see the point in it.
Will this go the way of every other anime that they decide to do a live action version of?
I think there's less for them to mess up because it's a pretty grounded tale. But also, I think if they try to Americanize it, that kind of is wrong too, because part of the story is the one girl is like a shrine maiden.
Mm. And we don't really have a cultural, like,
yeah,
parallel to that.
Yeah, that would be kind of...
So they'll have to change quite a bit if they Americanize it.
If they Americanize it.
Yeah, but then if you don't Americanize it, then what is the point of even doing it to begin with?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And it's J.J. Abrams' production company that's doing it too. Yeah.
So...
Lens flare?
That makes it a little... That makes me a little less worried.
Yeah.
But not,
you know what? I know it's called Bad Robot, but he should just change the name to Lens Flare.
Yeah.
Lens Flare Productions.
Like, I don't know. It could be okay, but when it comes down to it, what's the point?
Yeah.
That you can watch the animated one, and it's good. It's really good. And also, you lose a lot of the artistry in it, too, because there's a lot of beautiful shots and sequences that look good because it's animated.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it might be fine. I'm worried that it'll take an amazing film and make a forgettable movie out of it.
That's
like,
probably
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We have one last one. Let's do it. Why not? They're doing a David S. Pumpkin special.
Which is great. You know, if you were listening last year, was it last year?
It was last year.
Last year, we were all very into SNL character David S. Pumpkin.
Yes. I would say holiday classic character now.
Yeah. It's probably the best thing Saturday Night Live has done in like 5 years.
Tom Hanks, yep. Man.
Yeah.
He knows how to create a character.
Any questions?
All right. And with that, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
All right. You can also find us on all social media platforms at Nerd Overload Now. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch.
Not YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube, search Nerd Overload Live. Or not. Oh, God. YouTube, search Nerd Overload TV.
Yeah, that's the one that's different. We can't change it till we have 100 likes.
So maybe subscribe to our channel on YouTube.
That would be cool. We don't post often, but it's all quality. I promise.
And tell your friends so we can change it.
Yeah. There we go. Just need 100.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yep, and we're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can find us over there. As well as WZMOFM.com. We don't talk about that very often.
But yeah, we're live on local radio.
Yeah, we're live in Marion, Ohio, and you can listen to us over there. And yeah, I think that's it. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.